Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name, a surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols, but you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord your families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. You will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with your truth. A reading from Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, Lord and Savior, open our eyes.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he had said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This really isn't a great gospel lesson for me, considering I just filed my taxes for 2022. As the joke goes, give the emperor what is the emperor's, but not a penny more. The gospel lesson speaks to our relationship to God and our relationship to the state. Sometimes the church can be too distant. Sometimes, particularly I think what we see in our society today, might be too intertwined with the state. When does our relationship with God require our voice? When does it even require our civil disobedience to the state? And when does our relationship to the state become an idol? All these questions, I think, as Christians, we constantly discern. And it's really important to understand and appreciate the world behind this text, because I'm not sure Americans can really appreciate the cultural and theological implications here in Matthew's gospel. Even with instances of civil religion in our government that tends to be Christian in nature, our government is very secular in comparison to even European governments today. We don't have a sense of our leaders being in position, their positions by divine right, in the same way, like, for instance, the monarchy in England across the pond would still officially see their royalty being in the positions they're in by divine right. You know what I mean? It's just different. It's alien to us. So the coin in question here, when Jesus is asking for it, it bears the image of the emperor. And that coin said, "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus." You see the claim. Caesar's a son of a god. Who's Jesus? Son of God. There's a tension here. Daniel Harrington writes this: "After the three parables directed at Jesus' opponents, the series of controversies is rejoined. The second controversy concerning paying taxes to the emperor. The opponents are the Pharisees, who, as religious people, resented paying taxes to a foreign government. And the Herodians, who may have administered the system of taxation in Palestine. The two groups join forces to trap Jesus. If Jesus affirms the taxes should be paid, he loses the esteem of the religious nationalists. If he denies the taxes should be paid, he's subject to arrest as a political revolutionary." The Pharisees and the Herodians approach Jesus in a flattering but hypocritical manner, and then spring their question about whether it is lawful to pay taxes to the emperor. Recognizing their hypocrisy to show him a coin bearing the image and the name of the emperor,
The very fact that both the Pharisees and the Herodians used the emperor's coin implies that they should pay taxes to the emperor. Jesus, however, moves the debate to another level by challenging his opponents to be as observant in paying their debts to God as they are in paying their debts to the emperor. The opponents are revealed as hypocritical and not really religious. And Jesus gains honor for having recognized their character and having eluded their trap. Let's ponder that distinction. Paying our debts to God versus paying our debts to the emperor, to the state. What does that look like? Can't pay our debts, right, to God. What does that look like? But right now in our society, politics has become a religion. Does our faith give us the ability to critique our own political affiliations? Does our faith give us the ability to critique our own political parties, our own political ideologies? Or is our allegiance ultimately to those vehicles that operate within the state? And if they are, then I think the presenting problem all comes down to power. Why has politics become a religion for so many in our country today? It's about the power that people want to have. It's about the power that people want to maintain. And it's about the power that people fear that they're going to lose. There is a distinction, though, between the power of God and the power of the empire. Richard Spaulding points this out. Caesar's interest in the well-being of his subjects stops abruptly at the point to where his power over their livelihood is threatened. The theological claim Jesus makes about God's interest has nothing to do with power. The God to whom we render our days is the God described by the prophet Isaiah in the midst of the looming shadow of an earlier empire. For a people just as much at a loss to grasp the full magnitude of God's care. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. We confuse our relationship to God with our relationship to the state, to the empire. We even think God functions in the same way as the empire, as the broken empires of this world, whose support for us is contingent upon our level of production and our level of obedience. And through, in many pulpits in North America, sadly, people hear a message in which God's love is contingent, and they should be more afraid of God's wrath rather than trust in God's unconditional promise and unconditional love. So can we ever pay our debts to God? See, the state claims that we can satisfy the bill. They've looked at us and they count the cost, or at least they believe we can satisfy the bill, right? What do we owe to God? This becomes an invitation. An invitation of surrendering our whole lives to the way of Jesus. Not to earn God's favor, but because God wants us to have new life. And God wants us to have that new life right now. Following the way of Jesus is a calling into a new way of being a human being. No longer burdened in pursuing the contingent love of the state or the empire. We just immerse ourselves in God's unconditional love that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't hang on empty promises of politicians. We're given an invitation to embrace a love from God that is unconditional and trust promises from God that are eternal. When we surrender ourselves to the way of God, we participate in the holy life that enables the whole world to see the image of God that we are created in. And we bear that image to the world. In holy baptism, we are marked with the cross of Christ, and we are reminded of a promise over and over that God has not abandoned us, that we belong to God, and that God will never forget us. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Remember your baptism. And in following the way of Jesus, we are constantly discerning how we are to be engaged in the world and how we're to relate with the state and the empire. And you're not going to be surprised. For Lutherans, there really isn't one answer. I know. Right? Our tradition ranges from quietism to being very hands-on in civil engagements. But the reality is that we're called to discern those things, and we're called to discern those things in community. And this might be groundbreaking and earth-shattering. We might disagree. We might come to some disagreements and still live in community together. But first and foremost, we engage the world bearing the image of God that is like a woman who would never forget their nursing child. That's the image we share with the world. Our efforts are grounded in the God who has claimed us on the cross, marked us with that cross. And we're not thinking now about furthering our agendas. We're not consumed with gaining more power, but rather in following the way of Jesus, we too seek to empty ourselves as Christ emptied himself for our sake. See what God does with God's power? Different from the way of the world. We're no longer consumed about our needs, but now we think about the needs of our neighbor. Not just in our country, but around the world. Yet our message still is a threat to the political powers of the world. Because to say that Jesus is Lord is to say that the emperor is not. We do not come to the world with an agenda, but a message. Some say it's good news. In word and deed, we bear witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ that makes all things new. Our devotion is not to worldly empires and kingdoms, but to a God and kingdom that is not of this world, but whose kingdom is here and will reign forever. God's love here is here, and it is unconditional. The state in Jesus' day and in our day looks at us and counts the cost. They look at each and every one of us and count the cost. But the good news that we share, the image of God that we reflect, is that Jesus on the cross no longer counts the cost. And we are marked with that cross. We are claimed as God's own. And we share this message of love, welcome, and unconditional promises that come from this God that brings about new life and everlasting peace and invite people to come into this kingdom that is now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Faithful God, your Spirit animates the church throughout the world and binds believers near and far into the body of Christ. Equip us for the work of faith and enlarge our hearts for the labor of love. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creating God, the sea roars, the earth rejoices, and the heavens are glad at the wonder of all you have made. Bless the work of ecologists and conservationists, and all those who safeguard the riches of creation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, your rule and authority is over the cosmos. As you once worked through the ruler Cyrus for the good of your people, accomplish your purposes through the work of elected leaders and public servants. Guide them with your wisdom and compassion. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Together we pray with and for our sisters and brothers in the Holy Land, lifting up prayers for the peace of Jerusalem, of Israel, and of Palestine. Bless Palestinians and Israelis who dare to take risks for peace. Guide and refresh all those who accompany them. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Caring God, your arms enfold all who are lonely, oppressed, despairing, sick, and suffering, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Scott, the family of Jim Klinger, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Carolyn, Phyllis, Dave, Donna, and Melina, Harry, Theodore, and family, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Bill, the family of Art Ruth, Carol, and our homebound. Pour out your abundant mercy on all whom this world has neglected, abandoned, and forgotten, that they may know your joy. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, all our life belongs to you. When earthly idols threaten to lead your church astray, remind us that you alone are the source of our eternal hope. Direct the work of church treasurers, councils, and all who manage financial matters. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Everlasting God, the saints of every age have sung your praise and shared your word. We give you thanks for their witness and pray that we may join them as citizens of your unending kingdom. God of grace,
gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. Peace be with you. What's that? Yeah. Hey, Mary, you going to help Layla with the offering? Probably more influenced by, like, in that area, like, Dave Spring, because they're like, Dave Spring. And I'm sure they bring a different kind of vibe. They remember. Yeah, so he has no frame of reference at all. But he has no parents. Like, he has no frame of reference at all.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feed on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water, you molded us in your image. And with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit, you call to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us in this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing until needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb. Through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. An usher will lead you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. Jen, our assisting minister, will have the chalice of consecrated wine. An usher will have a chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. I'd like to also invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Any announcements for the good of the community? I know following worship at 11:30 we have a meal, and then our Windfall Fest, which includes Trunk or Treat, starts at 1 o'clock. We have a table blessing for our meal, so you can just eat after you caucus with Dick McInnes over there after the service until it's time to eat. So we'll continue with our table blessing.
Praise God.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.